The gospel lesson today is from Matthew's gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And the scripture reading today is a story that we're all familiar with. I think it's a story about Palm Sunday, that first Palm Sunday. And Jesus and his disciples were heading to Jerusalem for the first time, according to Matthew's telling of the story. They had traveled from Galilee in the north country through Jericho near the Jordan River. And this is where the story begins. Hear the word of the Lord. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them.' And he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and put cloaks on them. And he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in highest heaven." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day, for this text that reminds us of the traditions that we have loved for many years. Speak to our hearts and minds this day, that we may go forth in faith and trust in you. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I think we are all familiar with this story, and we remember that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a borrowed foal of a donkey that had never been sat on. The crowd cheered and laid cloaks and palm branches down on the road as he passed by. By all accounts, it was a joyous celebration, a kind of spontaneous parade. Everything was glorious. But I want to go back to the beginning of that parade. Before it started, Jesus told two of his disciples to go into the city ahead of you, and there you will find a donkey and a colt tied up. Go and bring them to me. And if anyone asks you what you're doing, tell them the Lord needs it. So think about that for a moment. In Matthew's gospel, this was their first trip to Jerusalem, to the big city. They were all from Galilee in the north country, okay? Small towns and villages up there. And this was their first trip into to Jerusalem. But Jesus told two of them to go into the next village, one they had not been to before, and find a donkey and a foal. I try to imagine myself in that story. Go to a strange village you've never been to before, and you're going to find a donkey and a foal tied up there. I want you to untie him and bring him to me. Okay, but if anybody says something to you and asks you about what you're doing, just tell them, yeah, the Lord needs it, and everything would be fine. Would you do that? I mean, wouldn't that feel a little bit like we're sneaking into town and taking something that isn't ours? I just imagine some questions being raised in the minds of those disciples. Maybe they were thinking, "Oh, Jesus, why don't we go back to the village that we just passed through? They've seen us. And you know, some of us had conversations with people as we were passing through. And I remember seeing a donkey back there. Why don't we go and talk to them instead of going to the village ahead of us?" Well, they went into the village ahead. They got the donkey and the foal and told the person who did question them that the Lord needs them. No more questions were asked. Everything was cool. Whew. Wow. So when I think of this, it seems to me that going into a strange place, into the unknown, takes a lot of faith. But isn't that what faith is about anyway? Stepping out into the unknown, an unfamiliar place, a new situation, the outcome of which you do not know. That is what faith is about. I mean, if you know what to expect and if you know the answer, you don't need faith because you have certainty. Living by faith is living confidently with uncertainty. It's living with questions and not all the answers. We believe that if we pray and trust God and seek to do what is right, no matter what the cost to us, that it somehow will be okay. The other thing is that the crowd was shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in highest heaven!" So what were they saying? We know the songs, and we've sung them just about every year, except for this year. Hosanna, loud hosannas, the little children sang. But what does that mean? Now, remember that Matthew was written primarily to a Jewish audience, and he always tied Jesus' ministry and life and ministry to things from the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, to emphasize who Jesus was. From the birth narratives and genealogy, he showed how Jesus was tied into the line and lineage of King David. There was John the Baptizer fulfilling the words of Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." The Sermon on the Mount painted Jesus as the new Moses issuing a new law. And here in this text, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on the colt, the foal of a donkey," taken from Zechariah. This was the picture of the coming Messiah, as Matthew interpreted it. The king coming, not riding on a magnificent steed, prancing on the way, not coming with chariots and armies, but in humility, riding on a donkey as a king of peace. In these ways, Matthew tries to show who Jesus was. But with the crowd shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest heavens," Matthew seems to be showing that the crowd may not have totally understood who Jesus was. Hosanna means save us now. They were still looking for this mighty king from the line of David to overthrow the Romans. And when you think about it, this crowd was coming to Jerusalem for Passover. And they came from all over the world. But mainly this crowd that was with Jesus at this time had been coming up from the Jordan River through Jericho. And they had come, joined together at Jericho from the east, and from the north, from Galilee and Syria and what we know now as Iraq, those areas. And they converged there at Jericho because that's where the main road went, from Jericho up to the city of Jerusalem. When Jesus and his disciples were leaving the city of Jericho, two blind men stopped them and said, "We want to see," and Jesus healed them and opened their eyes so they were able to see. And if the crowds were there and saw Jesus heal the blind, the sick, perhaps they saw him when they saw him on the donkey that symbolized, that's and what that symbolized to them, they were overjoyed and began to shout, "Hosanna, save us now." Another thing that I find interesting is that when they arrive finally at the city gates of Jerusalem, the people inside the gates wondered, "So who is this guy? What's all this commotion about?" And it seems that, as Matthew tells the story, the people in the city hadn't really heard much about Jesus because he hadn't been there before. He had spent most of his ministry or all of his ministry up in Galilee in the north country. And so the crowd answered them, "He's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth." So as I'm thinking about this, it seems like the people in Jerusalem had little awareness of what was happening on the outside of the city walls. You know how that is. City folk don't really understand what it's like to live in the country or do farm chores and those kinds of things, to tend to cows and pigs and sheep and grow crops. City folk are a bit aloof from that, and we know where our food comes from, kind of. You know, we get it at the store. How it gets to the store, we may not really give much thought to. But people in the city tend to be city folk. People in the country tend to be country folk. And we don't always look at life and the world in the same way. Perhaps the people in that way, the people in the city of Jerusalem may have been oblivious to what was going on outside of this parade coming from Bethphage and down the Kidron Valley and up to the city. They were unaware of what all the fuss was about. As a side note, going back, it's about 2.5 to 3 miles from Bethphage where Jesus told the disciples to go get the donkey. And from there, you go down into the Kidron Valley, okay, and then back up to the city of Jerusalem. So if you were sitting on the city wall of Jerusalem, you would see that whole hillside from Bethphage all the way down through the valley and then up to the city gates. But not everybody was up on the city walls to hear and to see. So the parade would have been visible from quite a distance from the walls of Jerusalem, but not from the city itself. The other thing is that for Passover, pilgrims came from all over the known world to celebrate the Passover in the holy city. So instead of about 20 to 25,000 people, as are estimated to have been living in Jerusalem at that time, there have been could have been upwards of 50 to 80,000 people squeezed into that city for that great festival. And so you'd have the city streets packed with pilgrims, with donkeys and horses, camels, carts and chariots, Roman soldiers stationed at key places. So it's very possible that those squeezed inside the city walls would have been totally oblivious to the joyous parade that was approaching the city. And we remember that within a week, the shouts had changed from praise and hosannas to crucify him. So who is this guy? Perhaps he didn't live up to their expectations, and people in the city had different expectations than those in the villages. But Jesus did speak truth to power, and he brought healing and wholeness to many in ways that no one could have imagined. So who is Jesus to you? As we grieve for what is lost this year, the waving of palms, the soaring swell of the organ, the joy of singing hosannas with one another in the sanctuary, the touch of handshakes and hugs with the passing of the peace, we can be sure that Jesus meets us where we are, no matter how we are. Jesus did not stop on the outskirts of Jerusalem, nor on the fringes of our lives. He entered into the city fully knowing what was to come. And he enters fully into our lives, knowing our doubts, our failings, denials, betrayals, misunderstandings, and disappointments. He comes humbly toward us, accepting whatever we offer, be it a palm branch or a tattered coat, exuberant praise or mumbled hope, knowing that soon he will go to the cross for our sake. When you think about it, our whole world is stirred up right now, turned upside down by COVID-19. And now, as then, Jesus comes into places and spaces where there is upheaval and turmoil, injustice, sickness, need, and evil. He came and comes into this upside down earthly realm to save it, to rescue it, to bring healing and wholeness, which is what being saved is all about. Forgiveness and mercy and grace upon grace. Nothing could stop Jesus from entering into Jerusalem, and nothing will prevent Jesus from being present in the midst of all that shakes and stirs us and causes us to tremble even now. Soon, the earth would shake and the rocks would split. The curtain in the temple would be split from top to bottom. Crowds would disappear, and even Jesus' closest disciples and friends would abandon him. All seemed lost and dead beyond redemption, but only for 3 days, when time would seem to stand still. Then God would upend all the expectations yet again, and those stationed at the tomb to keep him in the grave would be the ones who were trembling and shaken, because nothing could stop the resurrection either. We've all been thinking and wondering and grieving about all the gatherings that will not and cannot happen this spring. Graduations, weddings, concerts, games, and worship in the sanctuary that will not happen for the unforeseen future. But this Sunday, today, I will celebrate, and I hope you will celebrate in a different way than we've ever celebrated before. I will do my best to rejoice and offer what I have to Jesus, because he entered fully into the stirred up city of Jerusalem, and he enters into our trembling towns and shaken up lives in order to take our burdens, forgive our sin, crush evil, defeat death, and bring God's unstoppable new life to us all. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. As we close our worship today, I would encourage you to think about the things that you are grieving the loss of during this season of COVID-19. Name it and lift it up to God in prayer, trusting that God will hear your prayers and be with you in your loss. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you know our hearts and you know all our needs. You know those things that we grieve and the losses that we have experienced. We long to be together once again as a faith community where we can see and touch and feel each other's warm embrace. Help us to sense your presence with us this week. And may we look forward to that day of resurrection when new life and new hope springs forth. And now to the one who is able to do more than anything we can possibly ask for, think of, or even imagine. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen. That concludes our worship here.